And these are just facts, Mary Catherine Hamm. I mean, if you know Minnesota, and I don't well, especially Milwaukee, it's changed.
Yes, Milwaukee has changed. Apparently it's gone from Wisconsin to Minnesota. Laura.
Well, I don't know why I came here tonight.
Oh, Fox News.
I got the feeling that something ain't right.
Laura Ingraham.
I'm so scared in case I fall off my chair.
Never fail
and
to entertain.
I'm wondering how I'll get down the stairs. Clowns to the left of me, jokers to the right. Here I am, stuck in the middle with you.
I am from Pacifica Radio in Los Angeles. This is the broadcast as heard on KPFK 90.7 FM in LA, 98.7 in Santa Barbara, 93.7 in San Diego, 99.5 FM in Ridgecrest and China Lake, California. Also in California, in Red Bluff and Redding on KFOI and Round Mountains, KKRN. Up in Oregon on the Central Coast on KYAQ, Cottage Grove's KSO, and Eugene's KEPW. Lanchester, Pennsylvania's W News, Maui, Hawaii's KAKU. In Columbus, Ohio on WGRN, Palinville, New York's WLPP, Rochester, New York's WRFZ. Down in New Orleans on WHIV, out in Gallatin, Mexico on KNIZ. Concord, New Hampshire's WNHN, Fayetteville, Arkansas's KPSQ, in Seattle on KODX. Fairmont, West Virginia's WEFR, Janesville, Wisconsin's WADR, and Minneapolis, St. Paul's AM 950 KTNF. We also stream coast to coast and around the globe every day on the internets on the Progressive Voices channel, Netroots Radio, Radio for Humans, NicoleSandler.com, Radio Free Brooklyn. There you go. No Lies Radio, Detour Talk, and most of your favorite podcast sites. Blanketing Planet Earth, I'm Brad Friedman, your friendly investigative blogger, journalist, troublemaker, muckraker, and all-around swell fellow, says me from bradblog.com. We're already shaken up a little bit here, apparently. We had a bit of a tumbler out here in Los Angeles, home of the 2028 Olympics, I've recently come to understand. Had a bit of a quake here an hour or two before showtime, a 4.6 magnitude quake initially reported to be centered somewhere between downtown L.A. and Pasadena, which is frankly right about right here where we are now at this station in Glendale. The U.S. Geological Service has since said that the quake was centered near the L.A. neighborhood of Highland Park. That's about 5 miles northeast of downtown and at a depth of about 7.5 miles. It was quite moderate. Don't worry, no damage where I was in Hollywood here at the station. However, they said they got a bit of a jolt, damage reports of note, minor at best so far. So I am hoping that all of you listening today here in Southern California are in similarly good shape. Now, before we get to our guest today, and hopefully some of your calls a little bit later at 818-985-5735 on the state of the presidential race today, particularly on the heels of the past week's swing state barnstorming tour by Democratic presidential nominee Kamala Harris and her freshly selected running mate, Minnesota Governor Tim Walz, who has sort of charmed the socks off of Harris supporters over the past week since he joined the campaign. And well, today is our first chance to open the phones to discuss, well, him and what his addition to the ticket has meant. Our phone number will be 818-985-KPFK if you want to queue up now. By the way, we are in Fun Drive here again at KPFK. So if you'd like to join us on air, you'll need to hit button number 1 to do that. Or if you'd like to help support this station with a donation, hit button number 2. That's for KPFK, of course, wherever you are listening, whatever station you are listening on. I hope you will consider supporting them as well. Before all of that, just a very quick reminder that voters in Connecticut, Wisconsin, Vermont, and yes, our friends up in Minnesota are voting in congressional and state primaries this week on Tuesday. If you live in one of those states, and we have many listeners in a number of them, Don't forget to get out and vote if you haven't already. As we have been noting all season long, these primary races are an excellent chance to make sure that you are registered to vote at the polls as you think you are registered since you last voted. Discovering any problems with that right now would be far better than doing so amid the mayhem of the general election day on November 5. And because we are now within the 90-day period before the election, in theory, at least, under federal law, voters cannot be removed from the rolls anymore at this time. They can't be purged within 90 days before an election. Does that mean that they will not be? Well, we have a lot of vote suppressors in this country these days who don't seem to give much of a damn about law and order. So we'll see. Nonetheless, in theory, if you check your registration right now and you find that you are you're registered as expected, in theory, it would be too late for you to now be purged from the rolls. So if you haven't checked lately, now is a very good time to do so. Many states and some counties, et cetera, for example, here in Los Angeles County, provide easy ways to find out if, in fact, you are registered as you think you are on their website. In L.A., for example, you should be able to go to lavote.gov or anywhere across California. The address is registertovote.ca.gov. Other states offer similar sites where you can, you know, check to make sure that you're registered, or if you're not registered, register to vote. The deadlines will be coming up in many states pretty soon, including some where early voting will begin as early as next month, Desi Doyen. I think the first early voting is something like September 6.
I know. It is on.
It is on. So anyway, there's just, frankly, too much on the line right now, in truth, to not be proactive about this election in November. So I'll keep warning you anyway. I'll keep nagging at you and bothering you. But please help yourself and help your friends, family, neighbor, everyone else you know to get registered, to make sure they are registered, et cetera. The stakes are just that high right now. Speaking of, since announcing her running mate as Minnesota's popular two-term governor, Tim Walz, just under 1 week ago, the Harris-Walz ticket has been barnstorming in the swing states, visiting about five of them in as many days, with some previously scheduled visits to two more of them, Georgia and North Carolina, postponed because of the continuing effects of Hurricane Debbie down in the South. But over the 3 weeks or so since President Biden decided to drop out of the race to endorse Kamala Harris for the top of the ticket, the momentum has decidedly been in the Democrats' favor, with polling swings of about five or more points in including many of the swing states, culminating in a new New York Times Siena poll over the weekend. A poll that had been decidedly Trump-friendly in prior months. Well, that New York Times Siena poll over the weekend is now showing a 4-4-point lead for Harris-Walz over Trump-Vance in each of the three key so-called blue wall states: Michigan, Wisconsin, and Pennsylvania. That's the three states that the Democrats will almost certainly need to win in order to have a chance at holding the White House, and potentially the three states they need to win to lock up holding on to the White House. At the same time, along with the swelling support from the electorate, according to the polls, and the huge crowd sizes, which are driving Donald Trump crazy, including anywhere from 10 to 15,000 people turning out at rally after rally after rally, well, major labor union organizations, one after another, have all now also begun to come on board the Harris-Walz bandwagon, with endorsements for the Democratic ticket from the critical United Auto Workers in Detroit to the important Culinary Workers Local in swing state Nevada in Las Vegas over the weekend. And, of course, civil rights groups have also been racing to show their support for the ticket and for the woman who would be the nation's first black female president and the first of Asian heritage as well, if successful this November. But the one endorsement the endorsement of this one civil rights group in particular late last week caught my eye. As the New York Times reported it on Friday, the League of United Latin American Citizens, one of the nation's oldest and arguably one of its most conservative Latino civil rights organizations, they said on Friday that they were supporting Vice President Kamala Harris and her running mate, Governor Tim Walz. It is the first formal endorsement of a presidential ticket by this group in their 95-year history. Leaders of the group, known as LULAC, acknowledged that it had previously refrained from endorsing political candidates, but said that members were stirred to action by concerns over the potential impact on Latinos if former President Donald Trump were elected again. The endorsement was carried out through the group's political action committee, the LULAC Adelante PAC. After the internal conversations they held and a unanimous vote of members. LULAC, founded in South Texas by a group of mostly Mexican-American veterans of World War I, has traditionally taken more conservative stances than other Latino rights groups. Its endorsement now will allow its councils, which function as local chapters, to register voters, to knock on doors in battleground states, particularly Nevada, Arizona, as well as Georgia, Pennsylvania, and Wisconsin. The organization has some 535 councils nationwide, 140,000 members, 86% of whom are registered to vote, and more than 75% of whom voted in the 2020 election, according to their officials. Quote, "We can trust them to do what is right for our community and the country," said Domingo Garcia, the chair of LULAC Adelante PAC, about the Democratic ticket. He's also a past LULAC president. The Harris campaign manager, Julie Chavez Rodriguez, said in a statement that the endorsement was an honor, noting, quote, "The stakes of this election require Latinos to unify and organize together like our lives dependent on it." Until now, the closest LULAC has come to endorsing a presidential candidate was way back in 1956, when the group's president personally backed the Eisenhower-Nixon ticket. He wore an Ike pin on his label, according to news coverage at the time. But the group did not endorse. Some members of the group were also active in clubs boosting John F. Kennedy back in 1960. But until now, the organization has not made a full official endorsement for any presidential ticket ever. In 95 years, the Trump campaign said in response that the LULAC endorsement came as no surprise, with the Trump campaign's Latino media director arguing that groups like LULAC are out of touch with Latino voters and that their lack of interest in what matters to Latinos had caused many to leave the party behind. Really? Joining us now is Domingo Garcia, former LULAC president, now chair of the LULAC Adelante PAC. Oh, Mr. Garcia, welcome to the broadcast, sir.
Glad to be with you, and thanks for having me.
Delighted to have you here, sir. First, before we get to discuss why the LULAC and its Adelante PAC had decided to endorse a presidential ticket for the first time in nearly 100 years, I'd love to know, since I was kind of surprised when I came to understand this over the weekend, why LULAC hasn't endorsed any presidential candidate in all of those years past?
We were founded by veterans, and still today, LULAC probably has a 40 to 50% membership of veterans, current military personnel, law enforcement, things like that. So we're a little bit different than other organizations. So we tend to be, we have Republicans and Democrats in our organization, and we've decided to be nonpartisan up until this year. And that was because we wanted to be able to work with both Republican and Democratic governments and officials. But I think what happened, what we saw with the rhetoric coming from ex-President Trump saying that he was going to deport 15 million people, he was going to build these mass concentration deportation camps, he was going to have the army mm-hmm. go door-to-door and ask people for their papers. This was just bizarro, weirdo ideas. And then when we saw the visions of the Republican National Convention of people saying mass deportations behind them, we were saying, like, whoa, these guys have gone to the extreme far right with almost neo-Nazi Klan mindsets that need to be stopped.
I mean, they were holding up pre-printed signs made by the campaign, made by the party, calling for mass deportations now, which was just remarkable to see. But a lot of these things, Domingo, were things that Donald Trump had been calling for back in 2016, calling for again in 2020. What was the thing that, I guess, put you over the edge here in 2024 to say enough was enough?
We take Trump at his word now. In 2016, you know, he said he was going to build a wall and he was going to have Mexico pay for it and he was going to take kids from their parents. And he did. We did not believe him. We didn't think there was anybody capable of that kind of cruelty. And, I was down in South Texas at what we call baby jails. I saw a bus of 2 and 3 year olds in a prison bus with bars in it. And it just was so shocking that that was happening in America back then. And to have a repeat this time and cycle, we support securing the border. We support opening up legal immigration and cracking down on illegal immigration. But doing it in the sort of evil, cruel way and using immigrants for fear-mongering and scapegoating and as political piñatas, we said we have to put a stop to that. And we have the ability, especially in these swing states like Nevada, Arizona, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, to make a difference. Our votes can make a difference, and I think we can stop Donald Trump. And Kamala Harris has a policy, I believe, of inclusion. She knows she's a daughter of immigrants. She knows California, has been around Latinos, knows our issues, and I think she's going to be a great president of the United States of America.
Your response, Domingo, to the Trump campaign's response to your endorsement of the Harris-Walz ticket, when they noted that groups like LULAC are out of touch with Latino voters and what matters to Latino voters. Your response to them on that?
Look, we're the largest Latino organization in the United States. We've been around 95 years. We have the pulse. We know what Juan and Maria and families across the United States care. And they're the same things that Americans care about. They want I'm the son of immigrants and farm workers. Public education was what got me the ability to, you know, get a college degree and become an attorney and succeed in life. And when Trump says he's going to abolish the Department of Education, he's going to defund public education, that is important to our families. That is being in touch with our communities. When he's talking about not raising the minimum wage, many people are still making $7 an hour. A lot of people, especially Latinos, work in construction. They work in the hospitality sector. They work in the fields putting food on the tables of Americans, and yet they're not getting compensated a fair wage. Those are the type of things that we care about. And Trump was utterly a failure in that when he was president. And we believe Kamala Harris can deliver on the promises if she becomes president of the United States. And I think that's where we saw just a glaring difference between somebody who basically is full of hate and anger and teaching fear of the other and divisive versus a candidate who is working to unite, include, and give hope to the millions of people that are looking for something different in American politics.
And yet, there has been a seemingly growing number of Latinos and Hispanic voters supporting Donald Trump, at least comparing from 2016 to 2020. He had an increase there. And then in more recent polling as well, at least before Joe Biden decided to drop out and endorse his vice president for the top of the ticket. How do you explain that, in particular, rising number of Latino voters for Trump?
I do think that Democrats have a problem with Latino men and men in general, okay? Many Latino men, we're Second Amendment guys. We got rifles. We go hunting. We serve in the military, you know, serve in law enforcement. And these are things where people, I think the Democratic Party seem to be weak on. And I think that's important that Vice President Harris sends a message that's inclusive of some of the concerns that Latino men and other men in general have, because it appears that's where we've seen some slippage. But I think if you talk about sensible gun control, not banning guns or rifles like the scare tactics come from the NRA and the Republicans, and if you talk about dealing so that there is no more Uvalde, so there is no more mass shootings at any particular public school, and making children safe, I think that plays well with everybody. And then second, you know, the culture wars, I think, have also played. We have a lot of Latinos that are Catholic, and they're conservative Catholics. And mm-hmm. so pro-choice and abortion become an issue there. But I think we can win them if we just say we need to get the government out of dealing with families and a woman's right to choose, as opposed to the way it's kind of come up, been messaged by the Democratic Party. It comes across in a sort of a negative way. And that's why I think some Latino men have started voting Republican.
They're, you know, the Republicans for a long time have tried to make the case that, oh, Democrats are soft on crime, Democrats are against the military, et cetera. I think that's all stuff and nonsense. I do understand that a lot of voters fall for that stuff and nonsense. But I'm wondering if you have members who are feeling that way. Does the addition of Tim Walz, a 24-year member of the National Guard, do you suspect that will have any effect on your more conservative members at LULAC?
I think it does. I'll give you an example. I was really impressed that there was a picture of Governor Walz, who I'd met in Vegas this week mm-hmm. For the first time, with a camo cap. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm a hunter. Mm-hmm. My dad was a hunter, and a lot of people here. And so we said, like, you know, this guy gets us. You know, this guy, he probably goes duck hunting or whatever, and he knows that it's okay to have a gun or rifle for protection or for sports, but you don't need an AR-15. You don't need an AK-47. Mm-hmm. And if you're going to get one of those, heck, you ought to get a background check. Yes, you ought to find out if raise the age to 21 to own a weapon of war, and also make sure you don't have a mental health issue or criminal background wreck or domestic violence. Those are common sense things that I think that if Democrats are able to articulate that, and I think Governor Walz can do that coming from that Midwestern state, he will get a lot of those Latino males back into the Democratic Party.
And as I understand it, prior to the endorsement by LULAC, that you guys had invited Donald Trump to come and speak, I guess, to your national convention. What was the response to that invitation?
You know, it's interesting when you talked a little bit about our history. You know, John F. Kennedy was the first president to speak at a national LULAC convention and banquet in 1963 mm-hmm. before he was. And every president, Republican and Democrat, Ronald Reagan, George W. Bush, Clinton, Obama, has spoken to our national convention. The only one who never accepted our invitation was Donald Trump during the 4 years he was president. Mm-hmm. And Biden spoke to us. And so I think that that sent a message that we were not acceptable to him, even though we are a fairly, you know, moderate Latino organization. And so we decided that the time has come. He was no friend of ours. He was never going to be our friend. And in fact, he was advocating hate. And, you know, immigrants are rapists and murderers, and there's emptying insane asylums. All this just kind of bull that was coming out of him. And it was just time to put a stop to it. And I think we could put a stop to it in Nevada, Arizona, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, and we can send him to the dustbin of history.
It should be noted here that the Biden administration, along with Senate Republicans, had worked out an agreement for what would have been the toughest and the most conservative border security agreement in the nation's history. But the effort was blocked by Donald Trump himself, who instructed his loyalists in Congress to vote against the measure because he wanted to preserve what he regularly characterizes as chaos and a border crisis. He wanted to keep that as a campaign issue, which, you know, suggests to me, at least, that this so-called border crisis isn't really quite the crisis after all, as much as Trump and Republicans claim otherwise. But I'm wondering how LULAC views both that very tough border security bill that many liberals, in fact, were not all that crazy about. Do you support that effort that was, for now, killed by Donald Trump, and about the idea that Donald Trump was, you know, what about the idea that he was willing to cynically block it just to keep it as an election year issue for his campaign?
You know, when I saw that, look, we were not fans of the Border Security Act. We thought it was all border security, and it did nothing for the 12 to 13 million immigrants that have been here many a decade or more, no criminal record, paying taxes, being, you know, model citizens, mm-hmm. and not having an opportunity for the American dream. But we knew that there was a humanitarian crisis on the border. No invasion, no, you know, criminals spilling out, but a humanitarian crisis that needed to be dealt with. So we support supported that. We believe that it is important that we secure a border, that we reform our asylum process, that we allow only legitimate ones to come in, and that we deal with the other ones through a more legal framework of work permits or something like that. But, Trump was basically in cahoots with human traffickers and drug traffickers and wanting to keep the status quo. And that's just reprehensible and basically un-American and un-Christian with the tragedies that you're seeing at the border every day. Mm-hmm. And so we believe that Trump was wrong to do that. He was doing what was politically expedient, but not what was good for America, and definitely not what was good to deal with our broken immigration system.
Now, on the other side of the matter, your press release announcing your endorsement of the Harris-Walz ticket. You cite the fact that the Biden-Harris administration has created millions of jobs for Latinos, has supported Latino entrepreneurs, expanded health care, child care access for millions of Americans, has taken meaningful steps on immigration reform, et cetera. Now, I know it's still early. Harris has only been running for president for about 2 or 3 weeks now. But has her campaign outlined any specific initiatives that she would take specifically a sort of above and beyond the Biden-Harris administration's efforts to date?
You know, I had an opportunity to speak with her on Saturday, mm-hmm. and we're going to continue the dialogue and have some follow-up meetings regarding things that the government, the infrastructure bill that was passed has been just great. I mean, you know, who do you think builds those bridges, works on those highways, builds the hospitals and the schools and all that? A lot of that is Latino construction workers. And right now we have one of the lowest unemployment rates we've ever seen in American history. And that's because of the Biden administration getting into us, the Trump recession that we had while he was president. And then I think Vice President Harris understands that if you put people to work and you give them opportunities and you give them the opportunity to start their businesses with the SBA giving out more loans and microloans, that can make a difference in somebody opening up their mom and pop shop and being able to expand. Mm-hmm. But that's going to be a real big difference in how you get more people into the middle class and becoming more successful.
Lastly, I know that a lot of folks think about the Hispanic and Latino communities in battleground states like Nevada, Arizona, and so forth. Obviously, those are key states as well this year. But your press release, your endorsement of Harris-Walz, cites states like Georgia, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, not typically the states you think of when it comes to large Latino voters. What kind of numbers are you talking about there in states like Georgia, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania? And where do you think, in which states, that LULAC's endorsement is likely to have the greatest impact this November?
Yeah. Well, you know, in states like Arizona, Nevada, we're probably going to be anywhere between 30 to 35% of the vote in the general election. But people don't realize that President Biden won Wisconsin by less than 10,000 votes, yeah. Pennsylvania, and these other states, you know, the margin was 10 to 40,000 votes. Mm-hmm. So if we're able to turn out 100,000 new Latino voters in Wisconsin, in Milwaukee, for example, if we're able to turn out voters in Michigan and in Pennsylvania, where there are majority Latino towns in Pennsylvania, then that those 10 to 20 hundred thousand votes, that could swing those states into the Harris camp and elect a president of the United States. That's how close the margins are.
Yeah. And there are enough Latino voters in those states I think your press release said, 100,000 in 300,000 registered Latino voters in Georgia, 150,000 right. in Wisconsin, 140,000 in Pennsylvania. Those are easily enough numbers to tip either of those three states.
We had, I think, 180,000 Latino voters that voted when we elected two Democratic senators in Georgia. That was the margin of victory. Now, granted, the African-American vote was a key part of that success.
Yep.
But the margin of victory was the Latino turnout, which was around 80% for the Democratic candidates in Georgia in that election. And that we see that repeat. It's a good chance that if Kamala Harris can win Georgia again and picks up Arizona and Nevada and holds the blue wall, then she'll not only be elected president, but she'll be elected by a fairly large landslide.
And she may have LULAC to thank for it. Dominga Garcia, LULAC, now that you've sort of broken the seal on endorsing, are you going to be making more such endorsements for other candidates around the country as well, or are you going to just stick with the president this time around?
We are going to be making endorsements at all federal levels, which Congress and Senate and President. For example, I know in California you got a Senate race there that we are probably going to be making an endorsement in shortly, as well as in Arizona where Ruben Gallego, one of our LULAC members, is running for the U.S. Senate there to replace Sinema. And so, yes, we will be playing at the, on the national field.
That would be Ruben Gallego out there in Arizona. All right. Really? Well. You okay?
Yes.
Okay, good. I didn't know what happened there. Anyway, Domingo Garcia, really appreciate you joining us today. You can find more information about LULAC at LULAC.org. They are the League of United Latin American Citizens. You can follow them on the Twitters at LULAC. And, of course, their action committee is LULAC_PAC. Domingo Garcia is the chair of the LULAC Adelante PAC, the Political Action Committee of LULAC. Really appreciate you joining us today, Domingo. Hope to talk to you again in the future. Good luck.
Thank you very much.
You bet. All right. We will take a quick break here shortly, and we'll come back with, we've got some, you can tweet me if you like. Looks like Don Sebastian, someone calling themselves Don Sebastian on the Twitters, says, listening to the Brad blog as I get ready for the new college school year. Abortion is a non-starter. Unborn lives matter. Unborn Americans are the first refugees that need our help. Latino, millennial, independent. The so-called bipartisan border deal had more pork than fat. Well, who knows if that's actually a Latino or a millennial or an independent. But there's that's what you get from Twitter. Yes, Des?
Yeah, I would disagree that, you know, perhaps women should have the right to control what happens to their own bodies, yeah. Which I think is what this is actually about. If you truly care about helping, make sure that women who have unwanted pregnancies end up bringing those children to the world, then maybe do other things like programs and policies that make it easier for women to do that. There's an idea. And they still get to control their own bodies in the process.
You got that, Don Sebastian? You all can tweet me as well. I am the Brad Blog on Twitter and all of the and Facebook and Mastodon and everywhere else. However, as we are on live radio, we'd love to hear from you. If you want to give me a call, 818-985-5735, 818-985-KPFK. I'd love to talk to you about some of what has transpired over this past week. Since we've last had a chance to open the phones, including the addition of Governor Tim Walz to the ticket, who seems to be quickly becoming America's favorite dad, and the notes of relentless optimism and joy that he seems to be bringing to both the ticket and the nation, frankly, after what just feels like years of darkness that, boy howdy, does Donald Trump want to seem to hang on to and make even darker. Anyway, are you feeling the joy? Give me a call, 818-985-KPFK, if you are in our live Southern California listening area, or if you're listening to our live web stream via kpfk.org, 818-985-5735. Hit button number one to get on the air. And number two, as I say, because we are in fund drive now here at KPFK, if you'd like to support the station. Anyway, that is all ahead on the broadcast. I'm Brad Friedman. Don't touch that dial.
What the public hears on the public airwaves matters. At the Bradcast, we do our best to bring you accurate news and analysis on the issues that actually matter, and we do it all independently without corporate or political influence. But we can't do it without you, now more than ever. Please help us stay on your public airwaves by going to bradblog.com/donate to help keep us going. That's bradblog.com/donate. And thanks.
You might have seen a few people showed up in Philadelphia the other night. And then 10,000 plus walked into a field in western Wisconsin. And then on Wednesday, the largest crowd of the campaign showed up in Detroit, Michigan. But Arizona just couldn't leave it alone, could you?
Wow.
It's not as if anybody cares about crowd sizes or anything.
Welcome back to the always joyful Bradcast. Brad Friedman from bradblog.com. We will get to your calls momentarily at 818-985-KPFK, 818-985-5735. What a week. I mean, it's just one week after another week after another week. It has been a whirlwind for political junkies like me in any event. But boy, have things changed from the dark place that we were in to what seems to be a rather joyous, love it or hate it, rather joyous, happy campaign at least on the Democratic side at this point. Love to get your thoughts on it. If you're if this last week or two has changed the way you are thinking about this campaign, the way you are thinking about who you're going to vote for or not vote for this fall, love to hear from you. 818-985-KPFK. Quote, I think that our country is right now in the most dangerous position it has ever been in. That was Donald Trump on Thursday. Now, contrast that with what we have seen from Tim Walz and Kamala Harris out on the stump at Tim Walz's very first speech as her running mate, as we shared on this program at the time last week. He said to Kamala Harris, "Thank you for bringing back the joy," which just sort of leapt out at me at the time when it happened. It was like ringing a bell. Thank you for bringing back the joy. Yes, we could use a little bit of joy in this country after what feels like a whole bunch of really dark, grim years, beginning at least in 2016, if not earlier than that, up through the pandemic years and beyond. And I know on talk radio, oh, you're supposed to be angry, you're supposed to be furious, you're supposed to be yelling and screaming about how terrible things are. Well, we do not roll that way on this show. We will rail and yell and scream about how terrible things are at the appropriate times, if you've ever listened to the show over the past 20 years. But then there's also time for joy. And the next day after Tim Walz had thanked Kamala Harris for bringing back the joy, Harris went a little bit further. She branded the Democratic ticket, quote, joyful warriors. Then contrast all of that with former President Donald Trump, who opened a news conference at his Mar-a-Lago club in Florida last Thursday. And by the way, before he even opened his mouth, it was dark. It was literally dark in that room, that living room or whatever the hell it was down at his.
Yeah, he had it lit with candelabras, I guess.
Like
it was
that.
Some sort of, you know, I think somebody called it, you know, Liberace for vampires or something weird.
I think it was a last minute deal. It didn't even have. Did you notice it had no branding on it? It had a branding for Mar-a-Lago on it. There was no Trump Vance branding,
right?
No signs or anything like
it,
that.
It did seem to be hastily prepared because they did not have microphones for the reporters, and then Trump during it complained that he could not hear the reporters' questions. So they were not prepared for that audio requirement.
He said, "I think that our country is right now in the most dangerous position it has ever been in." That's sunny optimism for you. Though I do think a case can be made that, you know, Donald Trump is in the most dangerous position that he has ever been in. And perhaps he is confusing his own potentially dark future with that of the country's. I'm not sure he can tell the difference in any case, as he is on the verge of sentencing for his 34 criminal felony counts for cheating to win the 2016 election by paying off a porn star to shut up about their sexual tryst. But Democrats are playing up their sunnier outlook, promoting the ideas that voters can be inspired to support someone and not just cast their ballot against the other side. I am delighted to see this because I've been yelling and screaming at Democrats for, actually not even Democrats, it's anyone who's running for office. Give something to voters to vote for rather than against. Give them something to vote for. It does seem that Democrats are beginning to figure that out. Meanwhile, the Trump campaign is arguing their candidate is simply reflecting the dour mood of the country. And they dismiss the idea that a growing contrast in tone and upbeat attitude will decide the presidency. I'm not so sure that Trump has that one right, though I would love to hear from you about it. 818-985-5735 regarding, you know, how things have changed for you, if at all, over these past 3 weeks, as far as how you see the election moving forward, who you might vote for, who you are not going to vote for, or if they didn't change anything at all. If you're in the same place, I'd still love to hear from you and hear why. 818-985-KPFK. The Minnesota governor's relentless positivity, observes AP, talking about Tim Walz, is meant to give supporters a jolt of new energy. Walz spent his first week as Harris's running mate traveling the swing states with Harris, and it underscored the point during a rally in Eau Claire, Wisconsin, celebrating what he said was, quote, the ability to talk about what can be good. There's an idea. What can be good? Quote, this idea of caring for our neighbors and kindness and a hand up when somebody needs it and just the sense that people go through things and to be able to be there when they need it, that's who we are, said Walz. It's not about mocking. It's not about name calling. And as he might have said to that Twitter person, Don Sebastian, who said that unborn lives matter or whatever, he was abortion is a non-starter. As Tim Walz has been saying, look, you may not agree. We may all not agree with everybody. We might not do what you might do, but mind your own damn business. It's not up to you to decide what everyone else gets to do. It's especially not up to you to decide that when you are the party, as Republicans have been for so many years, going on and on about freedom, how Republicans believe in freedom, really? Not freedom from medical care, not freedom from big government intervention in your doctor's office, not freedom to read the books that you want to read. Utah just banned 13 books from all public schools across the state. 13 books, 13 titles that must be taken out of every library. Books by award-winning authors like Margaret Atwood and Judy Blume. Is that freedom? Does that sound like freedom to you? It does not sound like freedom to me. So mind your own business. 818-985-KPFK, 818-985-5735, hit option number one. Trump's senior campaign advisors counter that the mood of the country right now is sour over the economy, the state of the U.S.-Mexico border, and turmoil in the Middle East and beyond. They see their candidate as reflecting the reality rather than what they believe is a temporary exuberance igniting the Democratic base after months of discouragement over their ticket. Trump has tried to harness that with his repeated predictions of stock market crashes, world war. His campaign appearances have included a long list of other warnings that have veered into the apocalyptic, saying that if he is not elected, quote, we're not going to have a country anymore. If you do not elect Donald Trump, why, we're not going to have a country anymore. He says the only thing that's, quote, this is the only thing that stands between you and its obliteration is me, says Donald Trump, unquote. And that under a Harris administration, quote, Social Security will buckle and collapse and the suburbs. Oh, this sounds bad. The suburbs will be overrun with violent crime and savage foreign gangs. Glad I don't live in the suburbs. That sounds bad. Of course, if it's reality that Donald Trump claims to be in touch with, he has a funny way of showing it, as the Harris-Walz appearance at swing states all over the country over the past weeks have shown. They are drawing enormous crowds to their rallies. By the campaign's count, 12,000 people turned out for rallies in Philadelphia and Eau Claire, Wisconsin. It was 15,000 in the Detroit area and in Glendale, Arizona. In Las Vegas on Saturday, our guest Domingo, I think, was I know he was there. He may have spoken at that rally. But in Vegas, there was more than 12,000 people inside a university arena when authorities had to stop the admissions because people were becoming ill waiting outside in 109-degree heat to go through security. About 4,000 people were still in line when they said, we just got to shut it down. The campaign had to shut it down for safety. So between that and now losing in all of the major polling averages right now nationally, and by 4 points, according to a new previously Trump-friendly poll over the weekend, losing by 4 points in all three blue wall states, Michigan, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, while Trump seems to be showing some signs of, let's say, imbalance, citing the crowd of some 15,000 that turned out to an airport hangar in Detroit last week to see Harris and Walz speak in Michigan, Trump posted this to his social media site, quote, has anyone noticed that Kamala cheated at the airport? Talking about the Detroit meeting at the airport hangar. He says, quote, there was nobody at the plane and she AI'd it and showed a massive, quote, crowd of so-called followers, but they didn't exist, says Donald Trump. It was all artificial intelligence. He says, quote, there was nobody there, later confirmed by the reflection of the mirror-like finish on the vice presidential plane. She is a cheater. She had nobody waiting at the airport, and the, quote, crowd looked like 10,000 people. Same thing is happening with her fake, quote, crowds at her speeches. She should be disqualified because the creation of a fake image is election interference, says Donald Trump. Anyone who does that will cheat at anything. So, yeah, now Donald Trump is claiming that crowds of 10,000 people, of 15,000 people, do not even exist. Don't believe your eyes. He's telling this to his loyal, brain-poisoned supporters. And I know we got a lot of them who listen to this show, 818-985-KPFK, 818-985-5735, hit button number one. Do you believe this crap? Are you buying it? Because he sure is selling it. No, there wasn't 10,000 people at the airport in Detroit. There was zero people. It was all artificial intelligence. Which, by the way, would be a surprise to the dozens and dozens of supporters who were there taking their own video, and, of course, to the 10 or 15,000 people that were also there, actually there, taking their own pictures and their own videos. 818-985-KPFK. Let me go to Roger in Milwaukee. Our friend Roger is there. Roger in Minneapolis. Hey, Roger, welcome back to the broadcast, sir.
Yeah, Brad, I feel a little guilty having appeared.
Uh-oh. Oh, no. Roger, call us back. We accidentally hung up on you. We're only getting to learn how to do this show
after
20 years.
Yeah, that was my fault. I'm so sorry, Roger. Please call back.
818-985-KPFK. In the meantime, can we go to Larry in San Pedro? Can we do that? Line number one. All right, let's go. Larry, welcome to the broadcast, sir. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good, Brad. We cannot take anything for granted with this fascist juggernaut. We need to work harder, and we need to be more creative, and we need to get really damn serious, really damn fast, because we are out of time. So I would like to see Kamala have three rallies with Taylor Swift, uh-huh, starting in Pennsylvania, uh-huh, and move some of those millions of avid fans into Kamala's column.
Yeah.
And if you're amenable, Brad, I'll take my answer off the air. Thank you very much.
All right. Well, I appreciate that call, Larry. And, of course, while you say concerts with Taylor Swift, why not Beyonce? Apparently she's on board. Beyonce's on board with her. Kamala's first ad that she put out after Joe Biden dropped out of the race had Beyonce's Freedom song
So I guess Beyonce has given her the thumbs up. Do we have Roger back? We do. All right. 818-985-KPFK. 818-985-5735. Hit button number one to join us on air. Roger in Minneapolis. All right, Desi, are you going to behave now? Don't hit that button. Go ahead. Give us Roger.
Hello.
Hey, Roger, welcome to the broadcast, sir.
Can you hear me now?
I can, but you know it might not be long before Desi hits that button and knocks you off. So you better okay. Act quick.
Well, I am definitely not trying to sell you a Sprint cell phone contract. I feel mildly guilty at calling in again, having appeared at several of the recent weeks Mondays.
Uh-huh.
However,
yeah.
I do happen to be in Minneapolis.
Yes.
And Governor Waltz has been my governor for a little over 6 years.
Yes.
And, you know, I wasn't a big fan of him Democratic representative from, I believe it's the 3rd District. He sort of did a little triangulation thing, but, you know, he was a good representative.
Mm-hmm.
But he has been a fantastic governor. And I mean, his handling of the COVID crisis was outstanding.
Mm-hmm.
And many, many other things. And especially, let's keep in mind that
Roger, are you repairing a garbage disposal while you're on the air with me here?
No, I'm sitting at the Mississippi River. And a boat just rolled
I
by
see.
Me, but and
okay.
so what you're hearing is water.
Okay.
But anyway, I'll be real quick.
All right.
Governor Waltz has been a fantastic governor, and even more than it would have been true a week ago that I had somebody to vote for.
Yes.
In this election,
yes.
Namely Kamala.
Yeah.
Now, I tell you, when Kamala's done with her presidency, President Waltz will serve for a magnificent 8 additional years.
Well,
I think we have 16 years of Democratic majorities ahead of us.
Well, you know, he may or may not. He's, you know, he's no spring chicken. I mean, he's 60 years old. Had she gone with someone like Josh Shapiro, who is, I think, 51, might have gotten some more years out of him. I mean, 8 years from now, he's going to start running into Joe Biden territory, isn't he?
Oh, you're talking to the wrong guy there.
Okay.
Look, I'm 17 going on 65.
Yeah.
So I know a little bit from being a young, slightly older person.
Yeah.
But let me to underline just what a great guy Waltz is. As soon as the Dobbs decision came in,
yeah.
Waltz was the first to act to implement an executive order guaranteeing women who would come to the state of Minnesota
mm-hmm.
the right to make decisions about their own body. And that should tell you something right there.
It, you know what? It tells me a lot. Basically, once he got his trifecta, once he won the majorities for Democrats, both in the Senate and the House, what he did, the list of things that he went through and got done when it came to, you know, gun safety, legalizing marijuana, protecting abortion rights, one thing after another, showed what it can be like. And by the way, these were very popular things. They weren't just lefty things. They were background checks and so forth, popular with the entire country. He got it done. It's incredibly impressive. You're very lucky to have him as your governor, Roger. I got to move on here. But
Brad, this point, he may look too good to be true,
yeah.
but he is for real.
Good to know.
This guy's for real.
Good to know. Roger in Minneapolis. Thank you, sir. Thanks for keeping us up to date on Waltz as all of this moves forward. Really appreciate that. 818-985-KPFK. Let me go to, where am I here? Tom in Irvine. Hey, Tom, welcome to the broadcast. Oh, Tom, do we have him on line 4? No, we lost Tom? There we go. Is that Tom?
80 years. Yeah, we're right in the middle of it, of this 80-year cycle. And like 80 years ago was 1944. And I think the turning point in that political moment was the invasion of Normandy. And I think 80 years before that was 1864. And the political or the moment that really turned the Civil War, I think, was the Battle of Atlanta when Sherman burned Atlanta, and that propelled the Union and Lincoln to a re-election victory.
Now, Tom, we may have missed the beginning of your sentence because we're having trouble getting you on. What are you getting at here? Because I got a very about a minute's worth of time total.
Okay, yeah, we're in the middle of an 80-year cycle, or we're at the end of an 80-year cycle, going back 80 years, 1944. We didn't start winning World War II, or the tide of World War II started to turn when we invaded Normandy, and then 80 years before that was 1864, the Battle of Atlanta.
So what happens at the end of those? What happens at the end of those 80 years? Because I'm at the end of a 58-minute show, so I got to get an idea.
Okay.
Tom, go quick.
We emerge victorious. I think Joe Biden's decision to go with Kamala Harris as the presidential nominee is the turning point in this cycle.
All right. That sounds like, I think, good news. Thanks, Tom. Sorry I had to push it out
absolutely.
Of there. I'm at the end of the clock here. Thanks, brother. Let me go to one more. Do I have time for good old Mo in Long Beach? Oh, Morris, welcome to the broadcast, sir. What you got for me?
Hey, I'm going to tell you what we got, right? I'm going to tell you what we got. President Trump is running scared. He can't control the narrative no more. The news cycles, he can't control the news cycles anymore, Brad. And that was his claim to fame, no matter how crazy he was. He controlled the news cycle. But Kamala Harris and Coach Walz, they controlled the news cycles. That's the only thing. You know what? These guys are bigger than the Beatles. I never thought I'd see anything in my life bigger than the Beatles. These guys are bigger than the Beatles.
Who's... Well, we're knocking it out of the park on the phones today. Thank you, Mo. I appreciate that call. Yeah, well, we'll see if they're bigger than the Beatles. I don't know about that. I heard the Beatles were bigger than Jesus. That's what John Lennon said. So we'll have to see. But, yeah, it is very exciting. I must say, I don't believe I've ever seen anything like that in our country. And now we're playing audio. What is going on here? You can turn off that audio there, Wendell. Is that our out music? Thank God. Woo! Nelly, we need to get out. Hey, my thanks to our guest today, Domingo Garcia of LULAC Adelante PAC, the League of United Latin American Citizens, to my producer, to my beleaguered producer, Desi Doyen, to my board operator, Wendell Handy, and to all of you for spending a portion of your day or night with us. If you missed any portion of today's program, feel free to download it anytime for free at bradblog.com. You can also drop me email. I'd love to hear from you. I am bradcast@bradblog.com. On the Facebooks, Mastodons, and sites still known as Twitter, I am the Brad Blog. We will see you at any of those, one of the above. Until we see you here next time, hopefully tomorrow, I'm Brad Friedman. Good luck, world. Listening to the broadcast. We are 100% listener supported thanks to listeners like you who stop by bradblog.com/donate.